Hey everyone, it's Harmon. Welcome back to Comedy History 101. We have a special two-part episode for you today. Well, not today, but part one is today on the history of Lenny Bruce, censorship, and free speech. Yes, an episode so nice, we had to episode it twice. And without further ado...
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
I can't come. Because you don't love me, that's why I can't come. I love you, I just can't come. That's my hang-up. I can't come and I'm loaded, all right? Because you don't love me. Just what the hell is the matter with you? What has that got to do with loving you? I just can't come, that's all.
We got the idea.
Yeah, you got the idea.
Oh, wow. So what we... Oh, I'm a police officer in the 1960s writing dirty words.
I'm Lenny Bruce.
I'm gonna bust Lenny Bruce on obscenity charges because I'm a 1960s police officer in the village.
Hey man, don't back off, cat. You know that's not cool jazz.
You're daddy-o, man. I'm not digging the daddy-o on stage. No. So what you heard there was a clip from a comedy routine of one. Lenny Bruce, whose real name was actually Lenny Bruce Schneider, if you're taking notes on that. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am Harmon Leon. With me, of course, Scott Colonico. Scott, I've never asked you this, but am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Hey man, like it's all cool. Dig, baby. Everything's all correct, man. Beep, pop, pop.
Yeah, we're down at the village at the Cafe A Go Go.
I know. I mean, I think that, like, because you know, we're both comedy kind of nerds. We like comedy history. And, you know, I knew.
Oh,
about,
you know what? In fact, we do a podcast on it as well.
But I knew
which, by the way, we're doing at this current moment.
That's right. And I knew about Lenny Bruce.
Isn't that meta? That's meta. I was just being meta for a second. But yeah, go ahead.
But then going back for this episode and kind of going back through all of his materials, like, man, that guy, he was like kind of like a, he was more of a beatnik than a comedian, really. He was like a super, super famous beatnik.
Yeah, I mean, there's two camps of it. And basically, the today's episode, in case you're wondering, is about, well, not only Lenny Bruce, but more about the Lenny Bruce censorship in the Lenny Bruce trials, where he was continually arrested on obscenity charges for doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, and I found, we'll get to this later, Harmon, just a little sneak peek, though. I found a couple of, a few excerpts from the transcripts we can read.
Oh, like in the later days of Lenny Bruce when he would do that on stage.
Exactly. We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah. So anyways, just to give a little backdrop into the Lenny Bruce origin story, he started as a comedian in the 50s, and I found a similar parallel to, say, the origin story of Richard Pryor. Whoa. Which you could probably check out on one of our episodes. I'm sure we've talked about Richard Pryor numerous times here.
Yeah,
History 101.
They could go to comedyhistory101.com and utilize our new search bar that we've just implemented on the site to find that.
Yeah, and if they can't find that website, they can contact us on Instagram at comedyhistory101.
Or they can just Google comedy history because you know what? We're kind of on page one now. Yeah,
kind of, sort of. Still doesn't make people comment and leave us on iTunes.
Oh, they like us. They're just not leaving comments.
Are they shy? Are our listeners shy?
I think that's what it is, man. People
or do they need comedy to be shamed at it? Or maybe we were shaming them into it. It was turning them off on
leaving. Yeah, maybe
a
we should have internet justice take them out.
Sorry. Or maybe our words should be censored on the topic. Whoa. Tying us back in to Lenny Bruce. So we both watched that documentary, Lenny Bruce Swear to Tell the Truth, which was all right. Kind of dated. Yeah. Narrated by Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I did find something interesting bit of trivia from that. The director of that movie later went on to do some of the episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then number two was that his assistant at the time was the guy who would become the lead singer of 90s band School of Fish. They had
no idea who that is. Did School of Fish later just become Fish?
They had one hit. They had one hit, like in 91 or something.
What was their hit? Because I have a funny, similar story to tell you.
Three Strange Days. What was it? What was the name of their hit?
Was it? Oh, Three Strange Days. I think. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You probably remember it, yeah.
Just a side note, and listeners, if you just want to take a breather on this, one of the internet radio stations I listen to is from like Salem, Oregon, I think, or Washington. Oh, yeah. We're gonna get letters. Yeah. But they had an ad on the Spin Doctors are coming, and they'll be playing all their hits.
They had a couple. Really? They had a couple.
Okay. Anyways, we digress. So how does that what does that have to do with Lenny Bruce? So Lenny Bruce, like in that documentary, he started out as like kind of like a normal mainstream comedian. There was actually clips of him, which I was surprised, of doing comedy sketches on TV with who, Scott?
Steve
Buddy
Allen.
Hackett.
Oh, Steve.
No, Buddy Hackett. Yeah. Earlier than that.
Yeah.
So he started out just normal comedian doing normal mainstream comedy, much like Richard Pryor started out. But then there's the Lenny Bruce origin story of how Lenny Bruce became the Lenny Bruce who ended up getting arrested on numerous occasions for obscenity charges. He met his future wife, Honey Bruce. She wasn't named Honey Bruce at the time.
No, she was just Honey. Taste of Honey. Yeah. That's probably her stripper name, A Taste of Honey.
Because that was my next question. Scott, what was her vocation?
She was a stripper.
She was a stripper. And what do strippers do?
Well, they take their clothes off.
Yeah. So Lenny Bruce started working. He started working at strip clubs, like on the strip club circuit, and that's like what they said really kind of freed him up into the comedy stylings, as you will, of being the Lenny Bruce that we know and love.
Yeah, I think Lenny Bruce. You can kind of definitely hear that in his roots, especially that the clip that we played, that two is a preposition, come as a verb. You can just definitely hear that kind of jazz ad lib kind of thing. Like it was in that documentary where they talked about he would come on stage to be the MC, and he would turn around and he would talk to the people in the band. You know, that he would consider those guys his friends and not the audience.
Yeah. His like job was like not really his job, but his thing was more to make the band laugh and have an interplay with the band. Which, like I said in that opening clip, it's kind of very, very. You would almost like applaud that bit by snapping your fingers, maybe.
Oh yeah, crazy man.
And adjusting your goatee and beret.
Yeah, go man, go.
Yeah. So he started out, he played at strip clubs, he kind of that which freed him up. And then, what did they call him? He was like the most filthiest comedian in America, they called him.
The dirty comic. Well, I mean, he got, from the strip clubs, he started getting more and more mainstream, as we're talking about. Eventually, he wound up appearing on the Steve Allen Show.
Hey, now, it's a nutty place. I'm getting loaded. Is this possible loaded on aeroplane glue? Maybe it's just stuffy in here. I'll call my dog over. Flicka. Flicka, come here, darling, and smell this rat. Smell it, you freaky little doggy. Smell that rat, Flicka. Flicka. Flicka! It worked. I'm the Louis Pasteur of junkiedom.
Back in the day, even now, you have to go give all your bits to the censors before you go on stage. And he actually went on, and he ad-libbed. And when you watch the clip, you can see him looking off to the side of the stage and just going, "Sorry, Steve, I'm doing the, I'm ad-libbing this."
Yeah,
that's really cool. And then also, he was the first guest on the first episode of Hugh Hefner's Playboy Penthouse.
This is a kind of an interesting party. I first figured it would be like sort of a TV
typical fake party, you know. But it's got a good party feeling to it, with some pretty chicks, you know, which is a good composite, you know.
Well, the girls, and we serve real liquor, and it does the trick.
Do you think you'll get any objection, drinking on the show? I don't think I've ever seen that on the show. Do you think that'll
be objection? We'll find out.
Oh, wow, October 1959.
Yeah. So.
And who was the last guest on there?
I don't know, but I know, man, I think...
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, but we should do one on the Playboy.
A lot of comedians. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Deep Purple. That's crazy. But he called it Playboy Penthouse?
Yeah, it was Playboy's Penthouse. Yeah, and he would just like...
That's like having a TV show called Hustler's Screw.
Yeah.
to other magazines. Yeah. Because Penthouse Magazine was around.
Yeah.
But, so those clips are good. But another thing about his origin story is, like, his mom was actually a comedian herself. Sally Marr.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Well, she was, I take it she was more like, she was a dancer, kind of a vaudevillian type,
right.
And kind of do it all, but said she was a comedian.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of like, so grew up in that sort of environment. Scott, do you know what his dad did? They were divorced, but his dad?
No.
Podiatrist.
No way, really?
That's funny. Okay. Yeah, the Schneiders, because that's his real name.
And you know what the name means in German?
Taylor. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. But so Letty Bruce, let's jump ahead. Oh, he was dubbed the most shocking comedian of the day. But at the time, you know, and at the height before the kind of main crux of this episode, he was playing like Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, he was
not a bad gig.
No, not a bad gig for a dirty comedian. Yeah.
Yeah, but that same year he played Carnegie Hall would be like the first year I believe he got arrested for obscenity. But Scott, let's just jump back, and this even ties into other episodes we've done. Like being a dirty, or as they say in the business, a blue comedian was nothing new. As you might hear on one of our past episodes on the history of party records.
Oh, yeah. Those people were, dirty way back in the day.
They were dirty. Like, Lenny Bruce didn't invent being dirty.
No, he didn't.
No. Can I say two words to you that it constitutes a man's name? Red Fox.
Red Fox.
This little boy came home from a spelling bee, and his dad asked him, he said, "Son, did you win first prize?" Dad said, "No, Pa. Kids, I didn't win first prize at all. In fact, I missed the first word." His dad said, "You missed the first word. What was it?" The kid said, "It was posse." He said, "No wonder you missed it. You don't even know how to pronounce it."
Who used to work with Malcolm X.
Yep, as a dishwasher in St. Louis, if I'm correct.
Yes, or I think they worked on the train together.
Ah, okay, right, okay. He had red hair back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and of course, Laugh Records and the Woodpecker song, which we've talked about in the history of party records.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But, you know, I think everything took a turn. So I believe he was getting arrested, but it was, like, just minor, you know, as we also, another episode we did on the influences of the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, as you see in the fictional version on TV, you know, he would be arrested and then just kind of released. But I think things turned when he was arrested in Philadelphia, and I believe it was someone who worked for the police department said to him, you know, like, "All this can go away if you just, you know, pay, you know, bribe some people."
Okay. Yeah.
And then he reported back that, a police officer or a member of, you know, an official actually said that to him. And then that's when the shit went down.
Oh, okay. He didn't want to pay up.
No. But he made it public.
Oh, okay.
That he was being offered that. So just a brief rundown on the case of the People versus Bruce, which is unparalleled in the history of American law. He was involved in at least 8 obscenity arrests. He was entailed in 6 trials in 4 cities. It took some 4 years and 3,500 pages of trial transcripts. Required 8 state trial judges who heard bail matters, engaged more than a dozen state attorneys and doubled that number of billable hour defense thing. Okay, that's boring. It prompted legal action by Bruce in federal courts in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, consumed untold man hours and amounts of public monies and compromise. All right, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it was a lot.
You get it.
He got work for a lot of people for saying things that nowadays, you know, some of them you can say on TV now.
Yeah, so I believe in his anniversary of his arrest in New York, and we'll go into that, which was I think that was like 1964.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So anyways, it said like between 61 and 64 is when like all his arrests took place. So, you know, in San Francisco, he was arrested at the Jazz Workshop. Los Angeles and the Troubadour, which is still around.
Yep.
Chicago, Gate of Horn, and New York, of course, at Cafe Agogo.
In the Village, yes.
Yeah, so wait, I was trying to think of that. Was it from Mean Streets where they said, hey, let's go to the Village to the Cafe Bizarro? Is that from Mean Streets?
I don't know, man.
I think it is. But, yeah, so his crime in New York, and we'll get to how he got to New York, was using such phrases as jack me off,
right,
nice tits, go come in a chicken in his stand-up comedy routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've got, if we want to get into the nitty-gritty on some of these, for example, Harmon, I have part of the New York trial transcript in front of me, which is kind of interesting.
yeah, sure.
Yeah, so... it is here in this. Oh, should we wait for this?
Wait, sorry. Hold on. They're coming to arrest Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, there they come. Yeah, so just read this real quick. I'll read this. So basically, this is from the New York trial transcript, Volume 5. And this is a part of the trial where they have a psychologist as a witness on the stand who is, they're asking him about Lenny Bruce's act. He's a witness witness for Lenny's defense. And here's the witness reading Lenny's joke, and he's saying, so his joke said, titty's bloody and maimed, it is clean, but if the titty is pretty, it is dirty. Exactly the kind of thing we do with sex. We find the straightforward, untouched titty dirty and disturbing. We find the mutilated, brutalated female form, I'd say, acceptable. Language of the courts, language of politics, public language which serves to hide you from a great deal of truth that is beneath those languages. And my opinion is that actually the so-called dirty words that he uses are never used in the dirty sense, always to fulfill this function of breaking up the language and allowing you to see how you actually live. Motherfucker, use of shit congealed, I think is a perfect example of this. So that was a psychologist reading some of Lenny Bruce's act in the courtroom, for the record.
Yeah, so again, you see this in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is that, especially when he went to New York, and he went to New York after, you know, being banned in other cities like San Francisco and Chicago. So he went to New York in, I believe it was 1964, and when he was gigging at the Cafe Agogo, the police would be undercover and just jotting down his act to read and as transcripts in court. And also, so basically they would read the transcripts of his act and without the benefit of delivery or timing or context.
So to that very point. So I have just a really quick thing from, this is from the San Francisco trial courts group, which is from,
which I'll give you the date of that, was 1961, where he was arrested in San Francisco and charged with violating the California obscenity law.
Yeah, so this is from the trial, and this is what you were talking about. This is part of the transcript that he would read on stage, or he makes reference to on stage, because it's actually kind of crazy when you read the transcript. So this is the lawyer questioning the arresting officers about what he saw in the club. So the lawyer says, "Officer Ryan, that's the arresting officer. Officer Ryan, you're quite familiar with the term cocksucker, are you not?" Answer: "I've heard it is used. Yes." Question: "As a matter of fact, Officer Ryan, it was used in the police station on the night that Lenny Bruce was booked there, was it not?" Answer: "No, not to my knowledge." Question: "Well, as a matter of fact, is it frequently used at the police station, is it not?" And then the judge interrupts them, and then they keep talking about the word cocksucker. So this is funny. The lawyer question is: "Now, Officer Ryan, there is nothing obscene in and of itself about the word cock, is there?" And then people start objecting.
The crazy times.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like, so after that San Francisco trial, he was also arrested twice in L.A. and once in Chicago. But in 1963, he went over to gig in the U.K. and they turned him away.
Oh yeah, he didn't even get in. They kicked him out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought, like, you know, because like 1963, around the same time. Like we talked about on this very podcast, you have like the Beyond the Fringe going on and you have the Goon Show, and they were kind of, you know, culturally groundbreaking type shows. Yeah, I mean, the Goon Show was the 50s.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I guess you don't have that element of saying the wrong, bad, dirty words like cock.
Yeah, so that, I was just surprised. That was something new. I didn't know that he was turned away from the UK.
Yeah, no, that was I didn't know much about that either.
Yeah, so after that, so and here's the theory I'm going to bring up. After being harassed on the West Coast, he took his act to New York. And back then, it's like, it's really weird. You had to have a cabaret card to perform. It's like they took away Billie Holiday's cabaret card, so it's like you couldn't gig without a cabaret card.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so that does not exist today.
No.
I do not have a cabaret. You don't have one.
Dude, don't say that on air.
All right, yeah, okay. So 1964, Scott, what was going on? And this is a scoop that I'm putting two and two together.
Okay, let me hear it.
What was going on in 1964 in New York City?
The Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers,
a fair of some sort, Flushing Meadows, a big kind of globey thing.
1964 New York World Fair.
Bingo! Right. So during the 1964 World Fair, that the mayor of New York said, people are going to be coming to our city, so we got to crack down on, you know, the bohemians and the beatniks and the obscenity. So right. So not only that, but they, like, that was a big time when they were cracking down on any type of gay bar. And again, this was said in the documentary. They were trying to take element. They couldn't crack down on the whole thing because there was like strip clubs going on, you know, at the same time, and they couldn't like crack down on everything. So they would take one component of each of these sort of, you know, what they call obscene, and you know, make an example of something. So in the case of like comedians being dirty, and by no means, you know, Lenny Bruce was the only dirty comedian of the day. I mean, George Carlin was around the same time. I believe he was getting arrested as well, and other comedians we talked about would be arrested for obscenity, but I think he was targeted because he was the most famous.
Yeah, oh, definitely, and that was kind of his gimmick too.
Yeah, and then, you know, he would be defiant about that, and he would know, like, when he was playing the Cafe A Go-Go, that there's police in the audience, and he would come back with his old standards, like, as we played up front, to come as a preposition. That was one of his classic bits, the red hot enema, guys who are carnal. And also, Scott, I believe we talked about this further before, that my favorite all-time Lenny Bruce routine had to do with a former first lady.
Well, and what would that be?
A bit called Eleanor Roosevelt's tits.
Can you do it?
You saw that routine. It's sort of like there wasn't a single. That goes into the camp of Lenny Bruce being a bit dated with his material.
Okay, yeah. Didn't
there wasn't a. It was no real joke in it. It was more the fact that he kept saying Eleanor Roosevelt's tits. It's like, what if you saw Eleanor Roosevelt's tits? Nice tits, Eleanor Roosevelt. There's Eleanor Roosevelt showing me her tits. You know, it just kind of went on like that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Just for the for those, you know, we know our fans are probably keeping track at home and everything, Harmon. I looked this up, but yeah, comedian George Carlin was arrested in Wisconsin in July 1972 for saying this, doing his seven words bit, but it was later thrown out.
Oh, but yeah, but that's 1972. So yeah, I mean, this was going on in the 60s. Yeah. But you know, and again, there was more ground. There was, or I would say, well, no, I mean, Lenny Bruce is Lenny Bruce, but you know, equally groundbreaking comedians of that time were people like, you know, Dick Gregory, you know, who later went on to be, you know, an activist and, you know, kind of just breaking the cultural color line in comedy,
right,
you know, and just doing, you know, about routines about the civil rights movement and all that. But, you know, again, Lenny Bruce was, you know, essentially just being arrested for freedom, free speech.
Yeah, which is what this podcast is about.
Exactly. And I think that's a good spot to wind things down for the end of part one of the history of Lenny Bruce censorship and free speech. We'll be back next week with part two, and we will tell you how it all worked out for Lenny Bruce. And I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts. And with that, I think it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Oh, Harmon, well, same thing as usual. You know, Harmon, I wrote and directed and Harmon produced a short documentary film called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth, But We're Afraid to Ask. That is on the festival circuit now. That'll be showing at the Norwegian Short Film Festival this weekend. So I don't know how fast you're getting this up. But then later on, you'll be able to see it at the prestigious AFI Docs Film Festival in Silver Springs, Maryland. And then the other cool thing is we have another film entitled The Escape Agents. It's a documentary about people escaping from East Germany. Kind of cool. And that'll be showing at the Art Film Festival in Slovakia next week.
Nice. Well done. And for me, upcoming in July, I'll be producing a 5-day storytelling festival called Tale Fest at the Crane Theater in the Lower East Side, across the street from, the Signal One Theater, where we talked about on an episode where Chevy Chase got his start.
The Groove Tube.
Yeah, look for that, and you can check out all my stories at theobserver.com. Be sure to subscribe and like us and tell your friends, and thanks a lot for tuning in, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.